Thank you all for having me. My name is Josh Kador, another one of the many Kadors out there. I'm just part of the Step 2 program. They invited me to share from the Word. If you guys have been keeping up with this series, last week, Chris Compella talked about a choice that we have to make, a choice for God. He went through the book of Joshua. Joshua tells the children of Israel, choose you this day who you will serve. We have a choice to make. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord forever. But what about when you make a choice for God and you choose to serve him, but it's led you to disappointment? Back in 1912, there was a man named William Leslie. He was a missionary. He was called by God to go from America to the country of Congo. He served there for 17 years, serving, working hard, and laboring. But he was there for 17 years and had no fruit. He faced disease, sickness, and he was eventually kicked out by the tribe's leaders and had to go all the way back to America. So for 17 years, he worked there, but then he left and died 9 years later in America, thinking that his mission had failed. Have you ever felt like God saved you, got your hopes up, just to disappoint you? Have you ever counted on God to deliver, and he didn't? I think we see a similar story in Exodus chapter 14. So if you could turn with me to Exodus chapter 14. The context is Israel was in captivity for 400 years to Egypt. And after 400 years, God sends Moses to go up to Pharaoh and ask Pharaoh to let Israel go free. And Pharaoh says no. So God sends 10 plagues over and over and over again, asking Pharaoh to let his people go free. And finally, Pharaoh says yes after God sends the angel of death to kill Pharaoh's firstborn son. And so now Israel is going free. They're walking out of Egypt, and they're free. And then right as they're leaving, God hardens Pharaoh's heart, and Egypt starts running back to get him back. So that brings us to Exodus chapter 14. Verses 8 through 10. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they encamped by the sea near Pi-Hahiroth, opposite Abel Zaphon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. And they were terrified and cried out to the Lord. What's interesting is that they followed God. Just like William Leslie, they felt the Spirit of God calling them out of Egypt. But God led them into a trap, it feels like. God's the one who chose the route. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. God allowed Pharaoh to pursue, and they're in this situation. And they're wondering, did God lead me here to fail? Why did God bring me here? Have you ever been in that situation when you're running out of time, you see the Egyptians approaching, and you're asking God, any minute now, I'm running out of time, where are you? Why did you bring me here? If the Egyptians are coming, did you bring me here to fail? Maybe, you know, we're in Silicon Valley, we're all looking for jobs. Maybe you're asking God, I spent 6 years in college, and now I can't even get a job. I've been searching for years, and I have nothing. I have no answer. I'm running out of money, maybe. Rent is coming up, and I'm running out of time. Where are you, Lord? And we see that in Israel, too. But the thing is, oftentimes for myself, I put myself in those situations. It's because of my mistakes, and somehow I blame God for those. I say, God, why'd you put me here? But I'm the one who put myself in that situation. But we see in Israel that it was God's will to put them there. And we often think that just because we're in a situation where things are tough, that somehow, somewhere along the way, I misinterpreted God's will. But here we see that God put them there in an impossible situation for a reason. They didn't misunderstand God's leading. Israel followed God's direction. God told them to go to the Red Sea. But the thing is, in those impossible situations, even though we know God put them there, fear distorts our perception of God. We interpret God through our circumstances instead of interpreting our circumstances through God's character. And that's exactly what we see here in verses 11 and 12. They see the Egyptians approaching. They're scared. And then they ask all these questions about God. They immediately start to doubt him and his character. So Exodus 14, let's read 11 and 12. They said to Moses, "Was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us here to die, to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Did we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." And we ask the same questions too. God, why did you bring me here? Did you bring me here to die? Can you even save me from this? Or maybe God doesn't love me like he loves other people, because look how easy it is for them and how hard it is for me. Maybe God brought me here to fail. And we ask these questions, and we doubt God's character because fear makes believers forget God's faithfulness. We see the Egyptians in our life, and all of a sudden, all we can see is the Egyptians and not the God who's dealt with them time and time again. And we think about Israel. It's easy to look at the Bible stories and see Israel and think, man, like, what are they doing? Why do they keep doubting? But as I've grown up, I'm like, I get it. I get it, man. These guys are doubting God, and I get it as I'm living life and trials come. I relate a lot more to Israel. And they're asking all these questions, and I ask the exact same questions because I interpret God through my circumstances. But what has God done for us? For Israel, he delivered them out of the 10 plagues. He delivered them out of locusts. He killed Pharaoh's own firstborn son, which is an exact picture of what Christ has done for us, right? He didn't just kill the firstborn of some Pharaoh, but he killed his only begotten son for us. That's who we can look to. God loves us. When we look at our circumstances, we can look at God. And that's what God is telling Israel to do, is to shift their perspective, shift your view. Don't look at the Egyptians, look at God, see God. But the thing is, we're still in these circumstances, right? I'm still afraid. God brought me here. You know, Israel is in this situation where they're seeing the Egyptians, they're approaching, they're coming close, and on one side, you have all these people coming over, and you're scared, and you're thinking, man, we're gonna die. And so they run the other way, and they see the Red Sea, and they think, man, we're gonna die. And so all this chaos is coming together. They're probably scrambling. Everything's wild. And in the midst of all that chaos, we go to verse 14. In the midst of all that chaos, God says, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Why would I be still, God? Why should I be still? God, don't you see my circumstances? I'm running out of time. Don't you see? My relationships are struggling right now. I'm out of time, God. Why should I be still? But God says here that his power is most displayed when our strength runs out. God's power is most displayed and is most known when ours runs out. So he puts us in those impossible situations. There was no way for Israel to defeat the Egyptians. It was impossible, and that's the point. How much more glory was God brought through this than if Israel stayed in Egypt? So how do we be still? In verse 15 and 16, can read that. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch to the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground.'" All he tells Moses, he doesn't tell Moses to find some solution to fix his problem. Moses, you figure it out. He tells him to just simply obey. He doesn't tell Israel the entire solution. He doesn't tell Israel the 10-year plan. And sometimes we think that. We think, God, I need to know my whole life. In Silicon Valley, we feel like we need to have our life mapped out to a T. I need to go to this school, buy this car, buy this house, marry this person. And we leave no room for God to work. But God says, in the midst of the chaos, in the loudness of life, just simply obey. Take one step of obedience. God doesn't tell Moses the exact plan, the full story. He just tells them, lift up your staff. He tells Israel, just move. Where in your life is God telling you to simply obey in the midst of chaos? He doesn't promise to reveal the plans, but he wants us to trust in his plans. Trust in his character. And if you don't know where to obey, where God is leading you, look to his word. It says, in the true knowledge of him is everything we need for life and godliness. It's found in his word. We can look and search and find truth for today. He gives us grace for today, so we can trust him today. But why should we trust him? How does God fight for us? The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. So why? How does he fight for us? And the thing is, it's easy to assume that it's our fight to fight. We think that I need to do this. But if you think about it, God saved us not on the basis of deeds that we did, right? Not out of our own personal holiness, not based on anything that we did. So if God saved us, not on some holiness that we, any merit that we had, then he's going to keep us based off of his grace. He's the one who started a good work in you. He's the one to sustain you. So when difficulty comes my way, it's God's problem. It's God's fight. God's going to deal with them. When hardship comes, I don't have to say, I have a problem. I need to find a solution. I need to say, this is God's problem. He's going to deal with it. And he will. He will. He also orchestrates every detail. If we look in verse 4, he tells Moses the plan here in 14:4. I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue. Everything here is very declarative. I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his armies, and the Egyptians will know that I am Lord. He tells Moses everything is declarative. I will. They will. They will pursue. I will lead you. God's plan was exact. It was precise. It was detailed. Psalms 135:6 says, whatever the Lord pleases, he does. God doesn't do anything because he's being forced to. God doesn't do anything to fix any of his mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. And God works in the background. In verse 19, we see the angel of the Lord. Verse 19, the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind him. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between enemies of Egypt and Israel. So we see the angel of the Lord going before them and now is going behind them. And God parts the waters so that Israel can move and is working in the background. Israel didn't even, they probably didn't even see the angel of the Lord blocking the Egyptian army. But that's how God works in the background when we can't see. So we don't know. When we're in that situation, we could trust that one, he keeps us. He sustains us. He orchestrates every detail and he works in the background. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. 84 years after William Leslie died, researchers discovered churches all over the Congo that traced back to his mission work. The 17 years of work that he did there, 84 years later, it was discovered that there were thriving churches. What he thought was a failed mission was actually God bringing souls to himself. God is constantly at work in our lives. Even when it doesn't feel like, his ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. God's an intentional God. Nothing catches him off guard. God displays his greatest power when our strength runs out. Philippians 1:6 says, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. God doesn't leave his people halfway. He follows through on his plans. God finishes what he starts. So do you believe it? Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that you're a good God who loves us. Lord, we have faith, but help with our unbelief, Lord. We believe, help with our unbelief. We're finite human beings who doubt you time and time again. As Chris said, this should be a no-brainer of a choice, Lord. We should know that you're the right way, Lord, but we doubt you time and time again because of how finite and weak and short-sighted we are, Lord. Help us to trust you and to know that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. You're a God who finishes what he starts. We lift our time up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.